8:45 on the clock. We'll call it order. The Gates County Board of Supervisors regular meeting, January 8th, 2014, Wednesday. Please stand and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, the Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. Again, I will... In this meeting, declare all business from 2013 formal session closed. We are in sign die. Clerk?
Okay. We'll have election of officers. Four will be the Board of Supervisors and the Board of Equalization. Do I have any nominations for chairman?
I would like to nominate Matt Bauman for chairman of both the Board of Supervisors and Board of Equalization.
Are there any other nominations for chairman? If not, I entertain a motion for unanimous ballot.
So moved. Second.
And we'll vote. Okay, 7-0.
Thank you all very much. Thank you all very much.
Yes. Let me take over for vice.
Next, I'll call for nominations for vice chairman for both equalization and regular board of supervisors. Vice chairman.
I'll nominate Gary Lytle.
The nomination for Gary Lytle. Second.
I'll second that.
Second by Kathy Setzer for Gary Lytle. Any other nominations? Seeing none, we'll close all nominations. Just a motion to close nominations.
Motion to close nominations.
We only have one, I guess. Yeah, so we just vote on the one. We have a Gary Lytle nominated for vice chairman. We have a motion to second.
Second.
Vote. Gary, you're our vice chairman again. 7-0.
Thank you, guys.
Condolences.
Okay. All right, next will be the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes held from the meeting held on December 24th, 2013, approve of all claims through January 8th, 2014, in the amount of $817,865.83. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve bank depositories of Security First Bank, Adams State Bank, State Bank of Odell, First State Bank, Pinnacle Bank, Citizens State Bank, First State Bank of Omaha, and NPAY. What did I say? First National Bank of Omaha?
You said First State, but First National. Right.
First National Bank of Omaha. Number six, approve Gates County District Court summary fee report and the register of deeds report of fees for the month of December 2013. Number seven, approve appointing Patty Milligan to prepare levy requests. Number eight, approve appointing Don Hill to prepare the county budget. Number nine, approve designating Gates County's website as the additional method of providing notice of public meetings and notices. Public notices. 10, approved Don Hill as a NERMA contact person. 11, approved designating official county newspapers. 12, approved utility permit 978 for Robbie and Ryan Hoefling to open trench a water line for new residents located between sections 33 and 28, Township 3 North, Range 8 East, and Sherman Township. Number 13, approved specification for high intensity signs and call for bids. Bids to be opened February 5th, 2014 at 9:15. That's a consent agenda item 1 through 13. I'll accept the motion to approve it. Pull anything to be considered separately.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Moved by Kathy.
Second.
Seconded by Gary Lytle. Discussion. I just wanted to have a discussion here. I guess I'll start about approved designation of official county newspapers. Shall we just proceed with the process we did last time? as we have, or is what we did last year. We're using three papers, the Voice News, the Arbor State, and the Daily Sun. So that's what that is. It just wasn't anything on there. Okay, so we'll just continue with what we did last year. Okay. All right. Any more discussion? Yes.
In the claims, we had a transfer of $500,000 from general to road and bridge. That's why that dollar amount would be up there.
Anything else? Seeing none, we have motion and a second. Vote 7-0 to approve the consent agenda. Next is the discussion on county communications. Mark. No, I jumped, but we're going to head and we're going to talk to you because we're going to have Tobias from the city is going to show up here to discuss. So this will be a good segue into that conversation we're going to have about half-cent sales tax.
Okay. As you know, we've been working on a countywide communication system. Several things we've been doing, some testing, looking at some different options. Last week, we went out for about 6 hours. Some people from the, a couple guys from the state were here. We traveled pretty much the whole county, went into areas that we don't have coverage now. We went into areas where there's no cell phone coverage or no radio coverage now. Pretty much covered anywhere where we thought there could be a problem. The state radio system currently has a tower located at Sterling. They have a tower that's not operable yet, but it is up. The equipment is in at, they call it Cheney, south of Lincoln, just north of the county line. Engage Lancaster County line, and then they have a tower on Highway 136 by Ellis, right on the Gage Jefferson County line. And the other tower that's probably the closest tower, one of the closer towers to this would be Milford. And so we started off in Cortland using a portable handheld unit inside of our vehicles. We took my vehicle, plus the state has a vehicle that they can graph the whole test of the county with a computerized system of some sort. And I'm hoping to have them here in 2 weeks to explain what we did exactly. They weren't completely done with their grafting and their paperwork yet, so they wanted to wait an additional 2 weeks. What we found going through the county with the handheld unit inside of our cars, we had 100% coverage. Now, that's 100% coverage outside of buildings. When we got up around Cortland, in between Cortland and Claytonia, we was hitting the Milford Tower. Pretty much 85% of the rest of the county, we utilized the Viat or Ellis Tower. And then when we got over by north of Philly, up in Adams, and back over towards Cortland, the Sterling Tower. So we didn't have very good coverage inside of buildings everywhere, but we had really good coverage outside of the buildings with the portable unit. Now that's a 3-watt or 4-watt unit compared to a car radio, which would be like a 40-watt unit. So I'm sure that we would have had 100% coverage everywhere, even inside of garages, wherever, with our car units, but this is a handheld portable unit. There is equipment that they would like to see. If we were going that system, they're coming up with some ideas of that equipment that could be put on our Blue Springs Tower because we didn't have coverage inside a building. Most of the places we didn't have coverage inside the building was down south, Wymore, Blue Springs, Barnston, that area, and then a few places here in Beatrice. They'd like to see a repeater-type system put on our tower, so they're going to go through the process of looking at our tower in Blue Springs and see if it's capable of doing that, which I don't know why it wouldn't be. The two gentlemen that were there would be the installers. They looked at it, but they're going to have a tower crew come just take a look at it. So hopefully in the next 2 weeks we'll come up with some better ideas, some graphs and pictures and things to show the committee and then have them come back to the full board. So we haven't got any pricing or anything yet, but I was really, they were really surprised how good a coverage. I was really, really surprised that, and talking to the sheriff, we couldn't believe the portable coverage that we had with their system. It's 100% outside of the buildings. But so, which shows that with a little bit of enhancement here in Beatrice and adding that tower down south into Blue Springs, that we would probably have really good coverage with the statewide system. Currently, we have probably the worst area that we have coverage in is in Adams, and we were inside the fire station. We were inside a couple other buildings in Adams, inside the state or county shop in Adams. Everywhere we went in Adams, we had 100% coverage.
With the handheld?
Yeah, which you don't have that now. So, and that's even on the fire channel that you don't have that, you know. So, and we don't have it. And we have equipment in Adams that's to enhance our law enforcement channel, and that still isn't 100% like this was. So that's where we're at right now. We've kind of put everything else, the proposal that First Wireless, when Doug Ostergaard was here, I've talked to him. We put that plan on hold until we do some more testing with the state system. So hopefully in 2 weeks we'll have them come and visit with you and explain to you exactly how the state system works and how it come about and some history if you're not aware of it. So
we could just continue to have communications on the agenda and have those discussions. I know there's a lot of meetings taking place.
Will this apply to laptops and iPads and what have you also, Mark?
Funny you mention that because I was going to bring that up quick. I did attend the FirstNet broadband workshop in Kearney. Myself, Joe Hawkins, Mike Oliver from the police department, and Jake Carroll, captain from the Beatrice Fire Department, attended that workshop. I have two of these books downstairs, but this is the book that we covered during the workshop and tells basically about FirstNet. I'll put it in a lot shorter version than the two-day version. Basically, it's going to be a government-owned broadband system that first responders can use. So instead of us, for example, going to Verizon, which we use our county cell phones now that the county pays for, through Verizon, we'll be going through the government, a government FirstNet, it's called, for broadband service, which will be laptops, cell phones, camera systems, just anything that you would go through Verizon now to do, we would go through that broadband workshop or broadband FirstNet company.
Will they provide that as complimentary?
No. Actually, though, they guarantee, in the first question that a lot of the sheriffs brought up that were there, that have a, you know, say, hey, why would I want to go with your system? What's it going to do? Well, their guarantee is it's going to be cheaper. Even though you'd have to buy the equipment, probably some new equipment, it would still be cheaper in the long run. Plus, it's 100% priority. So if you have a disaster in your county and you need 100% priority over the system, you have that. The nice thing about the system, what they're working on now, is the backhaul of that system is that if they guarantee what this system is going to guarantee by either towers, satellite, or portable little trucks they can pull out and park somewhere, they guarantee 100% coverage down to 3 square feet. So every three square feet in the United States will have coverage with the first broadband system. So we'll have coverage throughout this county. That's the biggest thing, is because there's so many places that don't have cell phone coverage, nor do they have the internet coverage to pick up the laptops and everything else in the
And I would think our sheriff's eye, whether we could have this type of equipment,
yeah,
that it could, we need to blend them together so,
yeah,
that we can do the best coverage at, yeah, the least possible price that we can do it. So.
And then the backhaul that I started to say, too, was that if that system would fail, it'd fall right back onto like Verizon or your other major carriers, and that would be a priority. So we would not get kicked off the system. You know, we would have coverage all the time, plus the 100% coverage of that. So I do have some of these books. I brought extras along downstairs if you want to stop in and kind of glance through it. There's the PowerPoint presentations, about half of it that we went through. But they're already planning putting out the RFPs for equipment in 2016 for this. So. It'll tie in. They're hoping in Nebraska it'll also work off of our microwave system that we're putting up. So that means we would have three sites here in Gage County, because we're responsible for we're putting microwave system on the Pickerel Water Tower, on the 911 center, and then the new NRD tower. And so that would overlay onto that system also.
Microwave?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's what I cooked with.
Yeah. Well, the other time, the microwave before you cooked with it.
Oh, okay, all right.
So the little big dishes you see on the towers, that's big, really coming back. Microwave was big several years ago. When I first got in this business, it was big. Then it kind of went away for a while. Now they're coming back to microwave systems, wireless.
So they'll be coming with some estimates, some prices, and mm-hmm. what have you. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a little while, but they're doing a lot. There's a lot of footwork for them to do yet. The two gentlemen that came here is in charge of the system throughout the whole United States. They're traveling around basically trying to sell the system to the states. There's a
make a decision too soon
yeah.
on what we do with the rest of our communication
right.
system without having information that...
Well, this will only be broadband. It will have nothing to do with two-way communications. And that's one of the first thing they really stressed is that you do not want to rely on this system for your two-way communications, for your radio communications. So this is totally separate than what your radio communications will be.
But if a deputy is sitting in a no communication zone and can get on his laptop and
right.
communicate with the office,
right.
that's a huge piece.
It is. It is. Exactly.
So you don't have to have.
Right. Well... They just stress that they don't want to see anybody go away with the radio without two-way radio systems. That they don't think that'll ever go away. That's what they stressed. That's probably 15, 20 minutes of the first part of the conversation because that's what everybody was asking. Well, we have this. We don't need radio systems no more. And they said, absolutely, you do. So they really stressed that. So, but it's still a piece of the puzzle to put together to add in there, though. So we're staying on top of this, too. And it'll be some responsibility of the emergency managers to help maintain this broadband system in our counties, within our counties, too. So that's kind of where we're at.
All right. Questions for Mark? For the update?
If you have any questions, feel free to give me a call or drop me an email, and I'll try to get them answered for you or stop in or whatever.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next, as I see the city administrator, Tobias Templemeyer, walked in, I know he's got a meeting shortly, so maybe let's have that discussion that regarding half-cent sales tax, the city is going to consider. John and Myron and I visited with the city on Monday, and there was a request to have Tobias come here and answer any questions we may have. I did make a packet of information that was provided to us that night from the city. So maybe just kind of give us the quick and dirty.
Sure. As many of you probably have heard, the city council is looking at putting a half-cent sales tax on the May ballot for the voters to decide whether or not to implement that here in the city of Beatrice. The city council has discussed using that half-cent sales tax for roads projects. It can go towards any public infrastructure, but what the council has looked at is mostly roads. Part of the state statute that enables the city council to put this on the ballot requires that we have an interlocal agreement with another political subdivision for some type of public infrastructure project. And so that's why the city council has approached the county board as being that partner in this interlocal agreement. I think so far discussions have focused on some type of roads project, joint road project between the city and the county. And I think it's important to kind of lay out what that interlocal agreement would kind of look like, what the county's part of it would be, and what the city's part of the interlocal agreement would be. And I guess what I envision in the interlocal agreement would be a very similar to a number of the other interlocal agreements that we have between the two parties. It would be a 10-year term because state statute says that the half-cent sales tax would go in effect if it's passed for 10 years. We're not looking to issue bonds, so it would be a 10-year term. We would describe the project. Now, what we look at doing is let's just pick 33rd Street. Easy example. Let's say we decide 33rd Street is the one we're going to put in there. We would list that's going to be the project. Speaking with Mr. Butcher, he believes that it is possible to maybe amend that in the future if that the joint group, the city and county, decide that that project no longer was viable and some other project needed to be addressed. So I believe we could write the agreement to allow us to have some flexibility moving forward. Next thing we would do is define what the city's going to do and what the county's going to do. Again, let's go back to 33rd Street. Right now, I don't think there's any intention of the county really participating a whole lot in the project. I mean, we're not asking you to do the engineering. The city would do that. The city would do the bidding. The city would do all the payments. We would do everything like that. All we need is a dance partner, if you will, to satisfy the state statute to have an interlocal agreement. So what I need is an advisory committee formed that has a couple of your board members that sits on it, a couple city council members who sit on it, who meet every 6 months to a year to say, yes, the project is moving forward as we thought. You know, it's still 2 years out because of monetary reasons, or it's a year out because of engineering problems. You know, wherever we're at, make sure we're still moving forward, and make sure that the whatever percent the city council decides to put towards this project, and 5% is the number that's been tossed around, is actually being spent on the project. So again, if the county wishes to contribute money, I'm sure the city council will be happy to accept it. But I don't think that at this point anybody's asking the county to contribute any money. They're not asking you to contribute any engineering. Just simply help satisfy the state requirement, meet with us, and move forward to interlocal agreement.
So the city really wants to do a road project.
Yes, they do.
Yep.
That's really what they want to do.
I noticed that if the news media was any reflection, though, that was negative on the part of the members who you were having the discussion with the other night. They really weren't really all that excited about the road project. Did I just read it wrong?
No, the discussion that we had was that we would have to, if it was a project we were going to contribute to, we'd have to amend our 1 and 6. I don't believe any of the projects that they were proposing, those road segments weren't in our 1 and 6 plan. So we would have to either change that. And my understanding was we were going to have to kick in some additional dollars. Well, 5% of roughly $600,000 is $30,000 a year. So over 10 years, it would be roughly $300,000. Well, roads are a lot more expensive than $300,000. I mean, what are we spending per mile to improve a road? We could spend $1 million like that. So if we were to get into a situation, I believe that the road segment south of Hickory there would 2.5 miles or roughly.
Correct.
Would come south there. So you'd be looking at I'm just bald throwing this stuff out for discussion, $2.5 million. And then the city's portion would be $300,000. So now we've obligated ourselves as the county to a road that wasn't even in our 1 and 6 for over $2 million. And so that's where we thought, well, we've got other roads that we feel are priorities. I think we'd want to partner. And that's where, you know, where I was pushing for the conversation of communications, because it is an infrastructure issue. It's a mutual benefit for both the city and the county, and we know it's going to be an expensive price tag. But that's why I wanted to bring it before this board, because I think communications is where we need to go, but they really want to use this for an infrastructure. But you would still, I guess, Tobias, that there's 95% of that, if we considered 5% to do for something with the county, there's still the 95% that you all would collect and be able to use could go towards infrastructure for the city.
Correct. Yes, the remaining 95% would go towards the infrastructure that the city council decided, and right now they're leaning towards streets and roads exclusively. So
they could still use that 95% for that if we were to do something different. But you know, my thoughts were the communications is that's really our pressing thing right now outside of what we're able to do. But you know, we do a lot of road stuff, and it's something I think it's not another burden on property taxes. It's something different. We throw a lot of stuff on property taxes, so this is something different. Yes, sir.
Tobias, what's the time frame? If this passes, what's the time frame that this money has to be spent, or how long is that collected before you go ahead, or how does that work?
Let's say it would pass at the May primary. You would see the sales tax go in effect, I believe, January 1st of 2015. So that's when you're going to start collecting revenues. 2015, I told them, will probably still be a lean year because you haven't collected a lot of revenue yet, nor to do any projects. 2016 is probably when you start kicking in with the construction. The statute doesn't say when you have to spend all the money, but I think you'd have to have it obligated within that 10 years. And obviously, there may be some projects that linger over for another construction cycle, but you would look to have it all at least obligated within that 10-year period.
Interesting. I like the discussion on the 33rd Street. You know, I don't think all of it. That's the road that runs past the Evergreen Cemetery. And actually, we talk about the cemetery, but that's a tremendous amount of traffic to the SDC. that runs that road and into the city of Beatrice as they come up. But we've never really talked about that I'm aware of. But I like the communication. I think forming a communication, thank you, Tobias, because I think coming together, the city and the county, I think it's very important in everything we do. So I like the idea. I think it's good.
I don't think it was a negative meeting. I guess I didn't have an opportunity to read the article, but I didn't think it was. I thought it was good. It was the first time we'd had that discussion, and there were some other councilmen that were proposing maybe the school system, the NRDs, and things like that. The problem is that kind of in the ninth hour or the 12th hour, however you want to say that.
It's a tight time frame.
Yeah, if you could maybe speak to that a little bit.
In order to have it to Dawn in time so she could put it on the ballot for the May election, she's telling me March 1st is when she needs it by. So that means the council has to approve it at their second meeting in February, which is February 17th, which means I need you to adopt the interlocal agreement before then. So, and I think you have two more meetings between now and then, if I'm not mistaken, of which you guys could take action, so the city council could take action on February 17th so we could get it to Dawn so we could put on the ballot for the May election.
So I suppose if we can't come to agreement that we want to do something other than a road, but we still want to partner with the city, the county wouldn't be obligated to any funds. We would just be a partner, and they would obligate a percentage towards 33rd Street for whatever would or wouldn't take place. If for some reason the city, because there's city services, and I'm not, no one said this, but if they would decide to annex, then the road becomes theirs. So that, and I remember that was the previous discussion, I think before I was on the board, maybe the first year, was why doesn't the county improve that road? Well, as soon as we improve that road, then the city would annex it. And so, you know, it's all taxpayer money. We're all taking the same $5 bill and handing it around. But I guess if that's the idea of you need a public body or public agency to partner with, that would be one course too. So just a discussion today, a lot of information, but in 2 weeks we probably need to know PDQ if this is going to take place and then take action in a month, which would be that last meeting we have.
February 5th. We this board would need to by February 5th.
And so what I would do is, you know, maybe in the finance committee, bounce it around and see what you think, because Chairman of Road and Bridge is on there as well, and bring that discussion and give some indication, because if for some reason we don't want to do it, we got to let them know PDQ, because they have to go knock on another door.
And we do have committee meetings on the Friday the 17th because of a holiday that Monday. So,
I mean, again, what we're asking for is really no financial contribution from the county. Not asking for you to put an engineer. We're not asking you to design the thing. We're not asking for any of those. We're asking for a couple of your board members to give up an hour every 6 months to a year to meet with a couple of our city council members to say, yes, things are progressing. Yes, you're hitting your benchmarks. It's moving forward. Things look like they're in progress. You may need to amend your 1- and 6-year road plan because ultimately you do end up with a road that's improved, and the state may require that you amend it. But I think that would be about the most that's required of the county.
I don't know. If we're not obligating any funds and we're not proposing to do any work, we could probably throw it on the 6th plan, and that's coming up here. We have to do that as well. So,
can you? Is it too quick to ask to have some kind of draft for this interlocal agreement by the 17th, so we could talk about it at our committee meetings already?
We can have that done for you.
Okay. I mean, so that we have something to look at, and then we know. Instead of the last day at that meeting having an interlocal agreement, I mean, so we can have something to look at and see what you're proposing.
We need to have a draft to you, and so you can look at it. And if you have a committee meeting, I'd be happy to come up and speak at that one as well and help you bounce ideas or answer questions. And I realize it's a lot of information very quickly, and you just want to make sure you're informed before you make a decision. So whatever we can do to assist, we'll be happy to do.
And this half-cent sales tax, it's just voted on by the people in the city of Beatrice, correct?
Correct.
But every time you go to McDonald's and you buy a McRib, you're putting it in the pot. Sorry, I like the McRib.
but it is still... Oh, yes, Gary.
Either way, it sounds to me like, I mean, whether we get
some communications infrastructure included in where the money's going. I mean, either way, we're putting it in front of the people and giving them the option to say yes or no. So I don't see any reason why we can't have by the 17th approval to do this, whether or not we got it hammered out where you're going to spend the money. My personal feelings.
Because you're right. It's contingent on the voters anyway.
That was the other night, too, and I think maybe we asked the question then, but if you put a specific project in for this interlocal agreement, I think you just made the comment there is flexibility. That could maybe be changed during the 10 years, but you kind of need to designate one.
The interlocal agreements that we have seen out there, some are very specific, some are very vague. Some communities have actually passed this without an interlocal agreement. I don't know how they did that, but... From what Mr. Butcher has researched, his conversation with him yesterday was that you could say it's 33rd Street or another project that is designated by the advisory committee. So you have to understand that in 10 years, things may change, and we may need to move a different direction, and 33rd Street no longer is viable. And then it's a complete waste of taxpayers' money to go do a road that doesn't need to be touched at all, and instead we need to go do something different. So I think you are allowed to build that flexibility into the interlocal agreement.
And I'm sure everybody knows, but in case you don't, Mr. Butcher is the city attorney. That's the person that Tobias is referring to.
All right, any more questions? Anything else you think we should know?
No, I'll have
you guys,
a draft.
You got any questions for? No? Okay. Anybody, legitimately, anybody have any questions for? All right, thank you very much. We'll...
Thank you, Tobias.
Thank you.
And in contact.
If you can get that in a local agreement like to Don or copy to Don so that we'll have it for the committee meetings and on the 17th.
Yep, we'll make sure you get it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Sorry I jumped around there a little bit, but I wanted to have those two back-to-back. Committee reports, building and grounds.
Everything is going good. Had tremendous compliments on the tree that JP did, and I just want to say thank you again to Mr. Thornburg relative to that. It was just incredible and complimented the entire courthouse, and just everything was very, very positive. We will have something probably a building grounds committee meeting within the next 2 weeks as we look to try to decide what we're going to do on accessibility on the disability entrance to the jail, but we'll have some discussion on that probably in 2 weeks. But everything is going very well, and Mr. Jones, as usual, is taking very good care of our property, and we appreciate that.
Equalization, Denny, again?
Nothing new.
Finance and insurance?
Finance, we talked about... Roger had proposed the chairs and the copier earlier and visited with Don, and the copier is all in the budget already, so that's just taking care of that through the budget process to go ahead and do the copier lease and to go ahead and also do the chairs. Told Roger to do that. And then during the discussion of that, visit with Roger and then also with some other people and maybe looking at, there's two offices that in the county judge that we did not do any desk in the last time. Don's going to get us some information on some of that, what the bids were and the cost were, and at least look into it now. Not saying we will, but at least look into it and see if we should or could upgrade those desk in their offices too. So trying to think of what else we talked about. Later on we'll have the election, I mean not late, the salaries for the elected officials, and we'll talk about that then. So,
Human resource.
I have nothing to report.
Law enforcement. We didn't meet, but do we have...
Gus, we had kind of discussed the prisoner's contract. I discussed that with Gus the other night. Not the prisoner's contract, but the contract to hold prisoners in a couple of off-site areas. And sounds like we're on the verge of being ready to put something in front of the board and approve and move forward with that. So hopefully, what do you think, Gus? 2 weeks we'll have them in front of the county board, or I'd really like to see this come to, I know you would too, but I'd really like
to come to. Yeah, I sent an email to Roger yesterday asking if he could be at our next meeting. We'll look at all the contracts, and hopefully then from there we can get from the board. And I think a lot of it you're going to find out, at least with Saline County, they want to just kind of, they got their basic contract, and then from that they'll just help us out where they can. If transporting, if I can't do it because of staff shortages, they'll come over and do it for us. He didn't want to put everything black and white because he said they just don't need to do that, he said. So it'll be very similar, with almost identical to what the Jefferson County did for a couple weeks ago. So, and I also have Dawson County to look at, and a couple other ones there, and we'll discuss. And hopefully Roger can be there and we can go 7 o'clock in the morning.
17.
Is that a holiday?
No, the 20th is a holiday. Yeah. 70, yeah.
So that way we can get some any answers, the questions we get answered then. So, because I'm like Gary, I want to get moving on it. So
we can put you to the back end of the meeting if we need, Roger.
No.
That's fine. Turn it on my calendar.
Terry Road. Oh, sorry. And then with Mark on emergency management, obviously the communications continues to dominate Mark's time, and hopefully at some point we can have something there that we can bring in front of the board and either move forward or not move forward, so that we can start to dedicate more of Mark's time to the other side of emergency management, which is not communications. So,
and Mark did come up and just a little bit talked about the earthquake. I know it's been in the paper and all that too, but he came up and because John had called him and asked him what magnitude it was and stuff. So that was kind of interesting to visit about. So don't have one of those every day in Gage County. Thank heavens.
We knew all about it because Supervisor Hill informed us how he shook.
I heard it.
Some of the discussion we had at Road and Bridge talked about the sign maintenance program, a reflectivity maintenance program, and this is a federal mandate, so we have to do it. It has to be done by June of 2014, and coming up later in our meeting, we will be advertised for bids on 1,597 signs. It'll be coming up later on. And this will fulfill the requirements for 2013. This is an inspection that Gage County has to do yearly, Galen, correct? And it's a night study that they do, and anything that isn't up to standards, I guess, has to be replaced. So it's going to be, hate to say it, probably more money to be spent, but we have to, it's a requirement, we have to do it. Also discussion on the armor coating, that'll be coming up later in the meeting too. We're opening bids on armor coating. There's I just will discuss it now. There's 16.65 miles on 7 different road segments that are going to be done. And those segments, briefly, are Cortland East, 5 miles. The Coke Road, which would be going south to Homestead, 1.8 miles. Wymore South Road, which is south of the new bridge we just opened up, 1.7 miles. Sumner Street, 2.8 miles. Pickerel West, 3 miles. And Blue Springs East to the River Bridge, and then Holmesville North. There's 2 different segments in there for a total of 2.3 miles. So we come up with a total that we'll be doing of 16.65 miles. Also talked about getting specs on some slab bridge. We're looking at installing on Hickory Road and some new box culverts. We're working on the specs for that, or Galen and Mark are at Manelli's office. Also, we had discussion on gravel. It seems to be kind of looking maybe a different location. We've got some places that gravel is supposedly running out, so we'll have to be looking at different locations, what we're going to do, where we're going to go. It'll be an issue we'll have to deal with in the future, so it's coming up here before you know it.
Yeah.
right into your sign reflectivity. I need a motion to approve or disapprove a resolution on traffic sign reflectivity maintenance program for 2014.
Resolution
14-01. That's our first resolution of 01, isn't it? All right. See how that works? 1401.
1401.
I make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
Maybe we could have Galen talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Galen, can you help?
As Terry said, this is a federal mandate from the Federal Highway Administration, and the signs, the Gage County and all other counties have to meet the new requirements for the high-intensity signs that we're required to use, and we have to set up a maintenance program, and in this resolution, the procedure we have used and are going to continue to use is the nighttime visual inspection. We actually go out and drive the roads at night and visually inspect our signs for the reflectivity that they have. And they have to meet the new high-intensity grade signed of the METDC manual for signs. So, and this is, you have to set up a program. As Terry said, you have to do it yearly and replace the signs as they no longer meet the requirements that the Federal Highways has set through the manual.
Galen, I'm going to assume that in this provision that got to have such high intensity, as they fade, they're going to have to be replaced and kept at a certain level.
Yes.
And the life of a sign is now going to be...
I don't know the true expected life of the signs. I started to do a little research and I didn't find nothing on it. I'll have to talk to sign people and see what they estimate the life of the sign to be. One time I was told 8 to 10 years, but I don't know if that's true.
That was for the new signs, it would be 8 to 10 years even yet?
That's what I was told, but it also really depends on what direction the sign is faced. Also makes a big difference in your longevity of your sign.
So if we place all of them facing south and north, they'll be... maybe last longer or shorter?
We hope, yeah. Hopefully longer.
The other three directions aren't going to have any signs, but one we will face in one way.
Well, we wish we could.
It'll be full of holes before 8 years.
Yeah.
Matt, also, we discussed it briefly. Do you approximately how many signs do you have to maintain in Gage County? I mean, there's a fair amount.
Total amount, seems like it was 3,000 to 4,000 total, yeah, signs, if I remember. In this, we have a little over 1,500 signs that we're going to do, and that was found in our visual inspection that we done last year that need to be replaced because they don't meet the requirement at this time. So, and like I said, every year we have to go out and drive the roads and check the signs and make sure some new signs haven't come in below the standards that we have to keep up.
All joking aside, I make joke about it, but yet I think you guys do a good job of maintaining the signs, and I think this is another case where the federal government has mandated something, and here you go, here's another added expense that, you know, in some cases, is it really as necessary as what they're making it out to be? It's kind of a shame in a way, but there again, it's rolling downhill and we're catching it again, I think.
Comfortable with the explanation? I have a motion and a second. Resolution 14-01. See no further discussion. Vote 7-0 to approve the maintenance program. Next, approve or disapprove the 2014 Community-Based Juvenile Services Aid Grant application and authorize chairman to sign. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lyle. Some discussion. You have the floor. Christina Lyons will give us an update.
This is the grant that's available every year. You'll see that this year it is a lot more than what we've had in past years. They've increased it to $56,965, I believe, is the amount. And in past years, we've only had 16,000, something like that. So we have used it to address the issues in our county plan that we wrote a couple of years ago. The three priority areas, we've addressed all of those. One was to continue a strong diversion program, as well as community service and juvenile services coordination. The other is substance abuse prevention. And the third was our mental health bullying, that addressing those needs in our county, as well as mentoring. So we've addressed all of those in our grant application for this year.
Questions for Christina? Roger, do you have any comments?
We're very fortunate to have Christina working with these programs, and does an excellent job bringing some monies from outside our budgetary process so we can do the extra things that help with our particular juvenile diversion maps, some of those type projects that she's integrally involved in. So,
Very positive. It's very positive for the people of our community.
Thank you.
Good projects.
Why such an increase in the funding there? Is it because of the legislature did?
Yes. Okay. LB 516, 561. I always get those numbers mixed up. But that change in the legislative process gave some extra money to the county aid, to the counties that have developed a plan and have been working on it. Some of the money was, they said, we could use for probation space, but because of our past amount that we've gotten for probation space, which was very minimal, I feel real strongly that we should use that money for programming and working with our families and working with our juveniles instead of space. And so I didn't ask for money for that.
Christina, do you know our neighboring counties, are they active in these types of programs also, and have they all been receiving the money that's allocated out there that they could receive? You know, Jefferson, Johnson, Pawnee, mm-hmm. Are they all applying for it or not?
They are just starting to. Johnson, Pawnee, Nemaha, and Richardson have a four-county MOU, and they just started working on a diversion program, a juvenile diversion program, and are contracting with one provider to do that, whereas before they were all split and it was very ineffective. But they are just starting to do that. Jefferson works with, I believe, Blue Valley Community Action in their juvenile diversion in this type of thing. And Saline County does some different things with mentoring, it's from what I understand. They do have a juvenile diversion program. We just have a brand new juvenile diversion specialist on the state level, and I think we'll see some changes with the diversion programs that's offered. Every county has the opportunity to say what kind of program they want, but there are obviously some more effective than others. Ours, in Gage County, our juvenile diversion program is probably one of the more effective ones because we involve with the parents and make them come to class, because it's a six-month time period, because we make them do some community service and some other things. So ours is more effective than some of the other programs.
And Christine works with the other programs. She tries to make herself available to help them, as well as have communication for us and the other agencies. BBCA is one that I know is active, and I know you work with them.
I do. I have done some training and some work in the four-county area just recently to try to help them put together their program.
Questions? All right. We have a motion and a second. No further discussion. Vote 7-0. I'll sign these and get these to you, but I pulled a tab, so I'm going to have to go page by page.
Is there a revised budget on your agenda, too?
Yeah. approve or disapprove grant 13-EB-609, revised budget summary, and authorize myself to sign that. Hold it off. Yeah, it was tucked in or something. Need a motion to approve or disapprove that grant.
So move.
Moved by Byers. Thanks. Seconded by Lytle.
I spoke to this just a little bit ago. This was the community-based monies enhancement grant that we had received. I think I was here in July, maybe, and asked for approval. They sent it back with some contingencies a lot lower than what the amount that we requested. This was the grant that I requested most of the money for, the probation space, and they sent it back and said, you can have this money to go to the juvenile justice training, and the rest can go to probation space. And so that's what you have.
And if I remember right, that's coming back from the LB 650...
561.
And we got into the additional contract with the city for the space there. There were some requests by Sarah to make some modifications, and we said, you know, here's the space. If you want some additional dollars, go through this process. How much of a reduction change was that?
A large amount. Yeah. I think I asked for something around $24,000, and we got $5,000.
Okay.
Which we knew would happen. There was districts across the state were asking for money for space. It was not a big surprise that they weren't going to give us a lot of their money for space.
And like you said, I think everybody knew the big population centers are going to get the money, and
right,
that's the way it is. It hasn't changed in 100 years, and it won't, but there was some misconception out there that we're getting money that we can help them rebuild or restaff or whatever. No. And I agree wholeheartedly with Christina. Yeah, the money we generate off this is for the programs for the kids and the participants in this, as well as education. And going back to what somebody said over here, the state is famous for, you know, here's the bill, go do it, county, and you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing just fine.
Yeah.
And again, I congratulate the people that are working with us and our probation people down here, as well as our HHS people that work very well together. Before LB 561.
And after.
Is there any merit to have maybe Sarah Rini come and just kind of give us an update? Gary, what do you think?
Actually, this is something I was going to discuss with you after the meeting here. I think we ought to have a little bit of a discussion here. I don't know that we fully grasp how much of a burden there is on the county. I don't know that I want to say a burden, but there, between probation and what Christina takes care of here, I just don't know that we fully understand where these funds come from, how they go out, and everything. And I wonder if we shouldn't look at having another committee that where you have a couple of county board members and Christina and Sarah and Roger on, where we can sit down in a room once a quarter or every so often and discuss these items, because I just don't know that as a board we're really up on it as we should be as far as what goes on in our county and in our total area, just like I was discussing mm-hmm. there with Johnston and Pawnee and them, where they've had plans and they haven't been taking the monies and using them. And, you know, that comes back to a burden on Sarah and her crew down there. I mean, that's just that much more that they're expending there because they're not using them resources. I think this might be something that we need to not so much be involved in, but know what's going on so that if there is something out there, we can work together and make sure we're using these resources. Things you asked.
No, I agree. If we stick in a committee, though, sometimes the whole board has a hard time getting all that information out there. If we could just maybe at some point quarterly have a quarterly update and just talk, and so that we have that better understanding, because I don't disagree with that. With the new law in place, we need to be probably abreast. And, you know, probation does a wonderful job, but they operate kind of out of sight, out of mind. And I admit fully that sometimes it's hard to fully appreciate everything that takes place because you just don't see it. So maybe we need to have a better understanding on an ongoing basis. So I think good idea.
Well, and I guess the other thing, too, is that you got the probation office out of here that's running how many different counties? You know, I mean,
16, I think.
Yeah. I don't want to stick our nose in 15 other counties' business, but yet on the other hand, they need to make sure they're pulling their weight, and when there's resources out there, they're using them to make this whole thing work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would prefer to develop that relationship more than 2 weeks out of the year as we're trying to put the budget together. It seems like that's the only time we ever talk to them is when they're asking for. I mean, it'd be nice to have more information. So maybe we'll look at doing that.
I'm willing to do that as well on diversion part. I know that we have a sizable cases. We have about 100 to 150 adults at any time, and about 30 to 50 juveniles that we serve a year. So I'd be happy to do that.
Well, I'm going to throw a date out. We'll just throw a date out here. How about, where's that big calendar we just got? There we go.
Mine is standing right here.
We'll put a timeline. Let's do our second meeting in March?
Is that the new one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Second meeting in March, March 19th.
That should be fun.
Maybe get an update, give people plenty of time to... I'm sure we could talk about it for 4 or 5 hours, but if we can get maybe a 10 or 15 minute condensed and just maybe do that quarterly,
mm-hmm.
Stay abreast. Sound acceptable?
You want to have ask Dawn if she would get a hold of Sarah and, or I don't, however we want to get. Let's just make sure Sarah is well aware of it so that she's here to participate also.
Basically, the probation runs her own show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
The diversion, pretrial diversion, is under the auspices of your county attorney's office, sure. Which this board authorized several years ago. And again, with LB 561, everybody's still trying to sort out what exactly is happening there. And that includes probation. I mean, they're trying to get everybody up to speed training-wise. And, you know, it's just one of those things that probably another 6 months to 12 months would have been helpful so that everybody was ready to hit the floor running. And that's nobody's fault as far as who's working within the system. Fortunately, I think we had some good relationships before this actually happened down here, so the people that are involved are doing a good job with that. But as far as, you know, I mean, the only thing they're talking about is like the funding stream that goes through the Crime Commission that Christina is bringing to this board for approval. They've got their own funding mechanism, too.
Right.
And so, you know, from you guys' standpoint, I think it would be a good idea to try and sort this all out. You may be the first county that is able to do that. Because, like I said, it's just we're still in the early stages. And in all fairness to all concerned, including Sarah, it's tough. We're constantly within the juvenile court system. We'll be working a case, and Judge Tim will go into chambers and call to say, okay, we're here. You know, what's the next, where do we proceed? Does it go to probation? Does it go to Health and Human Services? And that's still being worked out. And then we get involved with the sheriff, and then at the moment's notice, he gets a call and he has to transport somebody. What do you work with that? And again, I just point that out because I think it's good from this board so they have some idea. And you may not have to meet all that often. It's more just reports, once you are aware of what all is taking place.
I guess some of my concern, Roger, and you and I have discussed this some. I guess my concern is you get one person in the room and you hear one side of the story, and if you don't have everybody in the room at the same time discussing things, it seems like sometimes it might be slanted one way or the other, and it just you don't get that full overall view that to where everybody understands it. Just like you said, Gus gets called and all of a sudden he's got a transport. There's another expense that I guess we just don't understand where it all goes. You know, it's just pretty encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dawn, if you could contact Sarah, and I guess I don't want to set her schedule to see if she's available, just to give us just kind of a general update. So.
And you're looking for numbers served, what kind of people that we're serving, is that what you're thinking?
I don't need you to come in and, excuse me, I don't think we need everybody to come in and say, hey, this is how great I am. We just need to understand how the system works completely,
sure.
What the expenses are, whose responsibility is what, this is what's coming down the line. It's just something that we need to stay abreast of, is of what's coming at us.
Okay.
You know, with the changes.
Yes. Keep it simple. I won't get into the rest of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions on our revised budget?
You know, something that might work too on that is like at your law enforcement meeting or whichever one the board picks, do a little here's the information that we'll be presenting type thing, so you can focus on it at that meeting too.
Sure.
If you want.
Yeah.
You tell us.
That's 7 in the morning, Raj.
I'm going to start coming to work a lot earlier. You know? Keep up with
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the revised budget summary. Any further discussion? Questions? Seeing none, vote. 7-0. Let's see. Next, approve or disapprove resolution setting salaries of elected officials of the county for a 4-year term beginning 2015. Resolution 1402, the motion.
Make a motion to approve resolution for the salary of elected officials.
Second.
This is the one we have in hand. We have a motion and a second. Let's have some discussion. I really want to step through that.
We did have a little bit of discussion in finance. The elected officials, their salaries here, these are based on calendar years. That's when the increase will go into effect, because there's three other parts in here now with the designating the budget person and the levy person and then the election commissioner. Those actually go a cost of living, and that is based on our budget year. So that's just so everybody understands that. This first year, the election commissioner here will receive a salary of $6,000, and then in 2015, in the May, when we have the cost of living, that $6,000 will be adjusted at that budget time. So that's just to clarify that for everybody. But the rest of the people, those proposed increases will be effective on January 1st for a calendar year. We did leave the proposed increases all the same. As we had at the last meeting.
So that's roughly, just my quick math, roughly 2.66. The other, and the board stays 2%. And the surveyor is the same as the board, too?
Yes.
Discussion.
Gary. Yeah, I guess I still feel the same way I did last time. I don't really believe that, as far as the Board of Supervisors go, that there needs to be any increase there. And, just real quick math, over 4 years, you're spending roughly an extra $35,000 there, which we could spend somewhere else, you know, I guess is my feeling. You know, I'm over 4 years, the first year you're spending about $3,500, next year about $7,000, next year about $10,000, and then the next year about $13,000, it comes up to about $35,000. At the end of 4 years, we could use that to spend, you know, to buy another vehicle, buy something else. I just, my feelings are there's no need to increase that there, and I guess I'd like to offer an amendment that to this resolution that would have the Board of Supervisors stay at the current pay and show no increase through the next 4 years.
Motion.
That is a motion.
Motion by Lott to keep the board the same and everybody else moves.
I will second that.
Second by Setzer. We'll vote on that one separately. Any further discussion?
question then? If we vote, no, I understand we vote on that separate, but then we still vote. Basically, what you've done is pulled the supervisors out of this proposal.
Okay. He's offering an amendment. This resolution.
So what would happen is we'll vote on the amendment. If it passes, then that becomes part of this.
Okay.
If it fails, then this stays the way it is.
Okay.
All right. So you're voting to amend that. Any questions about the motion?
Nope.
Vote. Jurgens and Hill are abstaining. Are your buttons correct? So the way it's so the board would stay the way you're what you're voting for now.
What are we voting for?
Just on the amendment.
You're voting on the amendment.
Okay.
So if, like Gary said, if you vote yes means the board will stay the same. Everybody else moves.
Okay.
If you vote no, then his amendment doesn't go.
It fails.
Fails.
Okay. Sorry. Didn't understand that.
And hold on, Matt, just a second. Just so everybody's clear, because it's just on the amendment.
It's on the Board of Supervisors.
Yes.
That's the only issue you're talking about.
Yeah, you're not actually approving the full resolution.
Right.
It's not. We will vote on the resolution. It doesn't kill the resolution. Yes. Yeah.
Just voting on. So the board, his amendment is that the board stay, everything in this, the board would stay at 0%. Okay. We had people abstaining, I think.
Yeah, there'll be two votes.
Okay, everybody clear? Any questions on the proposed amendment? Seeing none, vote. Okay, against the amendment, Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman. For the amendment, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. So the amendment failed. Any more discussion on the original motion?
Right.
Was this? It was presented last meeting. The Supervisor Dorn just went over. More discussion. We have a motion and a second. Vote. Lytle against. Setzer against. For setting the wages, Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Byers. 5-2. Motion passes. Resolution 1401. Set for 4 years. All right. Got about 7 minutes before a timed item for armor coating.
Did you do the public?
No, we're good. I'm going to go back and, because I skipped that on purpose, to go through some things, hoping we were going to hit that 10 o'clock. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items from the public.
Everybody here, are there any comments from the public on future agenda items?
Seeing none, we'll just... keep it open. We got 7 minutes.
Yeah.
5 minute break.
Oh, look at that big iced tea you're drinking.
Yeah.
All right.
We have 7 minutes, so
we will just take a break here. 9:54. Point of privilege for Mr. Dorn.
Time to stay where it's warm. I think they're coming out today with
it. It's 10 o'clock. We will reconvene. Board of Supervisors. Need a motion to close all bids for the Gates County Armor Project.
I make a motion to close bids.
By Jurgens.
Second.
Second by Hill.
Yes.
Vote. Six. Danny's temporarily out. Six. Danny abstains. He's temporarily out. 6-0 to close all bids. All right.
Well,
for them right here.
Yep.
And then down that way, let Jurgens open those.
Yes, bids, bids.
How many are there?
There's
three, I think.
Four?
Three.
Well, two of them might be.
Okay.
There might.
Where's Deb with our nice little sheet where we can write everything out?
Yeah, where's our nice little sheet there again?
They're in Oklahoma.
The sheets are in Oklahoma.
She'll be back soon, hopefully.
The first one I have here is the Road Something Construction Company for a total project of all the miles added together of $239,638. What does that say?
The road guy.
Could that be it? Okay. The Road Guy Construction Company, hello.
Out of where?
Out of.
Are they Yankton? Okay.
I don't know.
Look on the envelope. I see that one's Yankton.
Yeah, out of Yankton, South Dakota. Okay. I'll read that in. Next one is from Top Coat Incorporated out of Yankton, South Dakota. Total project bid of $198,755.30.
I think you've got the market on that market segment, don't they?
Yeah. The third one is a bid from Stay Built Construction Company out of Harlan, Iowa, for a total project bid of $229,486. That's it. Three. Matt, I would just briefly like to have Galen and Mark review these bids and then let them come back with us for a recommendation shortly. I don't think it'll take much.
Just a couple of minutes here. And
yeah.
All right. Take them with them, look at them.
Sure.
Them
over there, too. There you go.
Myron, right offhand, I guess I could pull the budget here. What do we have budgeted for?
A little over $275,000 for budgeted this year. And part of that are...
This
are
is just crazy. I mean, these constructors
came up with that amount...
Olson?
Because last year we budgeted a little over $100,000 or maybe $116,000 or something, and we did not use it in the budget. Part of our budget discussion process this year was to carry that amount over and then add some more miles so that we could come up with a bigger project to get, hopefully, you know, competitive, some pretty competitive bids, which it looks like right here we really did because, the 16.65 miles we were hoping to get in under the $275,000, which... Looking at this bid, we got a very competitive bid again and stuff. So, I know I mentioned it one other time in one other meeting. A couple times I talked to Galen about this during the budget process and looking where to maybe lower some areas in the budget or cut something out of it. And Galen was just always, he was adamant he was not going to cut the armor coating this year. And we had, go ahead and talk about what we talked about
in
the meeting too.
Briefly, and I just spoke to Mark about that. There is a place in these bids that miles can be added. We just talked about a discussion. Our budget year ends July 1st. Our new one begins July 1st. I personally feel, you know, this is one place where we've lacked is maintenance on our existing roads. If these people are willing, I would like to, if they would work it out somewhere between this fiscal year or the next one, we're going to try and spend that same amount again next year, hopefully, if we're willing to add some miles while they're here to add to it, and maybe some of it come out of next year's budget. If they're here, I think the bids came in pretty decent. It's just something we can look at down the road.
Do the bid specs allow for that? Can we add that?
Yes, Mark said it was allowed. They could add miles in that when he bid them out. You know, they have to be willing to do it, you know. But there is an allowance in that they could go on and do more miles if, you know, we want them to. So it's
I'm not exactly sure even road and bridge you get. I know we have our highway engineer and we have our other engineers here to look at those, but I know I've had a situation just on break where we have a section of road up Adams to Philly from 41 to that's real rough and bad, and it was brought to my attention, so I think we ought to look at those to see what can we do, and can we do something on armor coating?
Basically, those bids are broke down so much gallonage of oil and so many yards of gravel. So that's kind of how they bid those specs. So that those two are the important two ingredients when the armor coat that goes down on that road. So those is how that's how it's kind of governed. You're going to put on so much oil and you're going to put on so much gravel. So, you know, you could really cheat on that if you weren't being watched fairly close. So that's kind of how they come about these bids, so many gallons and so many yards of gravel being used. So,
and one thing we talked about in committee was that the armor coating should take place every 3 to 5 years to extend the life of the blacktop and to keep it in good shape. And with over 150 miles of county blacktop, you know, if you're doing it on a 5-year average, you should be doing 30 miles a year. And that's more cost effective than, you know, having the roads deteriorate to where you need a full overlay. So certainly we're not keeping up with the armor coating.
Yeah, and this $275,000 or whatever the bids come in at here, I mean, what we budgeted, that seems like an awful lot. But like I said, last year we didn't spend any money on armor coating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this dollar amount this year was so much larger than what we've done some other times. And if we tried to do a maintenance program, like John said, we're not even doing them every 10 years. And that's something that we're always looking at.
16.6.
You have how much that is a mile, Gary?
Roughly it's around 12,000, just over 12,000 a mile.
16.65 miles.
What the cheapest bid was.
The cheapest bid is for.
At 275, it was like 16.2 a mile.
Proposed. That would have been
the budget
cost.
Proposal, yeah.
Yeah.
So right now, with the cheapest one, depending on what Mark says, with the cheapest bid, or the lowest bid, excuse me.
The lowest.
You're looking at about 12,000 a mile, roughly.
Right.
It was 16.6 miles, right?
16.65.
$11,937 to be exact.
So, or just right at 12,000.
I definitely need to bring candy for the jars.
Oh, my.
I mean, Jergens fell down on the job.
He ate it all.
Let's go with a per jar of candy, though, rather than mixing them all. I'm having chocolate Jolly Ranchers then.
I'd prefer Baker's chocolate in mine.
Let's put Baker's chocolate there and Jolly Ranchers here.
Maybe everybody should fill their own jar.
Probably be a good idea. Probably.
And then take it home with them in between.
Yeah. There, yeah. I think
we could include that in the commissary cost.
Yeah. I want an e-cigarette.
Had to go there, didn't you?
I'm not going to tell you how many people have called me on that one.
Yeah. And talked to you. That's...
Told me, keep it up, Fires. Keep it up. These guys don't need any cigarettes.
Hey, while we got just open time here,
We don't really have a motion. We're just kind of, I mean, just, there's...
Can we have...
Yes, we can. Just have
public or public discussion at this
yeah,
point?
Yeah, we got... Yeah, they'll come right back. But before we jump to that, standing rules, look at that for consideration in 2 weeks. That was in your packet. That'll come back if you want to modify, change, to add, omit. And I usually like to have Roger go through and look at those and make sure that everything's kosher there. And
where were they? I didn't have one.
You should have.
I have one.
Okay. Let me look again.
It had quite a stack. It's been buried. A clip. Another paper clip.
Mr. Fritzen wanted to make some comments. Gary, did you have?
Yeah, that's what I was going to.
Lenhart, you want to come visit? Lenhart Fritzen?
Mm-hmm.
Becoming a regular fixture, that's good.
Well, Lenhart Fritzen, 29813 South 120th Road. I guess as a taxpayer, I like to kind of put a little input on how my tax dollars are spent and questions a little bit and so forth, and that's about basically it. And right now, I don't know if you guys is how you're all sitting, but you kind of got it pretty well lined up what you want to do. But I myself think you go in 4 years, that's too long of a time frame. And my concern is you're going off a percentage, each percentage. I've stressed it some other boards too. The guy that needs it most, he really don't get the increase much. It's the one that gets the most pay, he'll get the most increase. Now, couldn't there be just a flat dollar increase on everybody so everybody gets treated equal? Or ain't that the way that it could work? That's one of my concerns. And as far as the wages, when you look ahead and you're going to have a 10% increase and go over 4 years, that's a lot of increase. I think a lot of things can change. Just to show you what has taken place and what's going to take place this year, we've had between a 46% and a 48% drop in prices on corn for the coming year. And on the new crop, there's no way that you can get over 424 December at the most. And a lot of that is getting to be a little under cost of production, depending upon what y'all figure and how you're situated. But I think we're getting too much burden going to be putting on our younger farmers. How's this all going to arrive? And I calculated it out, what my local taxes are, and 40 hours a week, just to make you think, at 40 hours a week, I'm paying $17.63 an hour for local taxes right now. And then you take your younger generations that's going to come on in. Someplace down the line, there's going to be a line drawn. And I think if Gage County was willing to just leave everything the same, we've got guys that already filed for re-election, and the pay, they know what it is. And I think it's someplace down the line, we got to hold a line.
Can I just ask, did you figure in your average hourly wage, the increase in the value of your property?
Value of the property?
Yeah, did you include that in your hourly wage on what you increased?
No, I'm talking about what I'm spending for local property taxes per hour, what it would figure a 40-hour week.
On the basis on what you're receiving for your crops.
Well, yeah. On.
But if you receive what your wealth is increasing, if you also figure out your wealth increasing, that has to be figured in too.
Yeah, but how about when it goes down, which
same
is coming
thing
up in the next 2 years?
Same
so,
thing.
I mean, I'm looking what I go out of my pocket. Really, right now, I mean, I wish some of you guys go up to the legislature. Because our tax system is so discriminating the tax load the way it is. We've got a lot of people. Well, you can look at our coach, the money he's guaranteed. We've got a lot of people that's making $100,000 plus and pay very little local taxes. They might pay on a house or acreage or a little bit. But where your my income comes from, there's nothing to do about it. They just keep adding it on and everything. I think there's time to hold the line a little on that stuff. And 4 years is too long, I think. So.
Well, you know, the legislature will have a bill in to reduce the percentage of your land that they will tax, property taxes, from 75 now to 65. It was dropped from 100% of value down to 75. Now they're proposing drop to 65, which would have a tremendous effect.
I've got a little property in Arizona. You know how they do it there? They take the total value of it, and then they take 10% of the valuation. That's what you get taxed on. Quite different than here.
They might have a little tourist money that we don't have in Arizona.
What's that?
They might have a little tourist money in Arizona that we don't have.
No, they laid off. They laid off professors here 2-3 years ago when the going got rough. They laid off professors, the teachers, the deputies was laid off, a whole bunch of them. That was it. The services was cut. I mean, to come down to basics is what took place.
I see it in my property in Colorado that the tourism dollars that they bring in makes everything else substantially reliance on property tax way down because of the tourist dollars.
Yeah.
And their sales tax is higher than ours by about 2%.
Yeah, Arizona is too. Now, there's another thing. You're talking about the sales tax. Well, why can't the county go into it? You know, if a 0.5% will bring in $660,000, who pays most of the taxes? The people that come into town, not that live in town on the sales tax. For one instance, they pulled John Deere in. Look at the sales tax we got to pay on and go right down the line. What you're trying to make your money with, you got to pay city sales tax on. And I think that's, well, enough said.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for your comments.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thank you for coming, absolutely.
And I commend you guys for armor coating. You cannot overstress that on them roads to get it done.
Right.
And I've seen that for years, what took place. You know, that's a good place to slide by, but... Your roads, you can hold them if you do that. So, thanks a lot.
Supervisor Juergens, you have a recommendation?
I'd like to have Mark come forward and make a recommendation to us, please.
All three firms are fine firms, do work all across the state. Top coach, your low bid, their numbers appear to be in order. Their bond seems to be in order. They're just under 12,000 a mile, which is about 3,000 less than what I anticipated. The other two firms were also underneath what I anticipated. I take that due to the fuel cost reductions compared to what we had last year, and then the binder cost. Now, how we bid this is a little different than you've done in the past. What we bid is the amount of rock or gravel we put down by the ton, and the oil we actually use. What we've done in the past is, as we said, you'll put oil and you'll put gravel and you'll give it to us by the mile. So we're going to meter, pay for them what they use. So if we get an extra dry road and we have to put more oil, they'll get more at that unit price. If they use less oil, they get what they actually put down. So that's different than what we've done before. But we estimated higher quantities at the higher end, so there should be inherent savings as we go on some of the roads that are fairly well sealed. You won't need as much material. It's fair to the contractor. He doesn't have to guess, and I say that's why you got some good numbers, is because he doesn't have to assume how much oil he's putting down. He's going to get paid whatever he puts down. So when the tanker comes, I'll talk to Galen and the road and bridge guys. Basically, our asphalt foreman, I'm going to want him on the job as an inspector, metering those pay items, getting weight tickets, getting the tickets from the tankers. So it doesn't take an engineer to stand out there to check quantities. We got the staff that can do that work. And then we'll go forward. So given that, my recommendation is that we accept Top Coat's a bid, and then through Road and Bridge we can discuss additional miles, which is built into the contract. As long as we have other needs, we can identify those and talk about those, because I know we've got some money left in the line item as well as the other funds that we may be able to. You're never going to see these prices. So this is a good opportunity to get caught up, maybe.
In motion, we have a recommendation from Mark.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we accept Top Coat's low bid of $198,755.30.
Motion by Juergens.
Second.
Second by Hill. More discussion? Seeing none, vote 7-0 to accept low bid.
All right. So I would assume, Matt, that the Road and Bridge will have some discussion as to extra miles, and then we'll come back and vote to add them extra miles, because, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we I would assume we would get that approval from the board to do anything more than what we've done in this bid. Yes.
Yeah, okay. At 12,000 a mile, we can add several more miles or whatever, you know, to still be under our line in the budget.
Anything else?
No.
Dawn, did I miss anything?
I don't see.
Bounced around a little bit because there are certain people here I wanted to touch the time, so I apologize.
Right.
Any more discussion on anything?
It's
kind of open, isn't it? I shouldn't do that. All right, we will stand adjourned 10:23.
Nobody jumped on it.